My verse again, a little verse we're using as a springboard out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, Philippians chapter 3. And again, we'll read the little text verse and use it as a springboard and go from that verse again this morning. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a joy to be back this morning. And I've enjoyed what I've heard this morning. I really have. And I apologize to Brother Hill for not getting here for the early session. But I have enjoyed every bit of it. Brother Carlos Stowers, I enjoyed what he had to say. I really have. And I kind of believe he likes Mexico, don't y'all? Amen. And I like it. I like what he had to say this morning about soul winning. And then also our dear brother that just talked to us this morning about finances. I got two or three questions. Question number one. Did the patrolman let the man go? Question number two. What is that second store that you have a problem with? What's the name of it? Wiggles? Wiggles. What is that? What do you like about them? Them things cost $3, brother. The milkshakes. Is that why you don't handle her? I'm not going to ask the third question. Philippians chapter number 3. I really enjoyed what he had to say. I really did. Matter of fact, I enjoyed it so good. I just asked him just a second ago if he'd come to my church on Wednesday night. I know his pastor well. I preach for his pastor. He's a good man. And I didn't realize he was our Fellowship Baptist, sir. But I love Brother Hatley. And I wouldn't come to my church sometime on Wednesday night. That's needed. And our people are in bondage. Did you know that? And I want him to do that sometime. I'll talk to him more about it. But don't you look back with me this morning. Again, it's a joy to be here. Thank you for letting me come. Somebody remind me to say this tonight because I've got to leave tonight. Somebody remind me to say this when I get up tonight. To thank Pastor Stewart and thank Brother Tengen and thank Gateway Baptist Church and Prior Baptist Missions for letting me come. That's a wonderful place to stay. I've stayed in a lot of motels. That's one of the best motels I've ever stayed in my life. Good, quiet place. You staying there? Yeah, good, quiet place, just a good place, real clean, and I appreciate the good meals. I appreciate you letting me come. Boy, this brings back a lot of old memories not long ago. And Brother Fred Kindheart called me this morning, and their orientation, their mission school is in 2 weeks. And boy, I remember them days. I remember, but I like them. I like it. I like mission school. I like it. I don't dread it. I like it. And but this is good. I'm enjoying this these days. And I'll be honest with you, this stuff rubs off on me. I like it. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3. And notice in verse number 13 again. Paul says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." This just come to my mind, so I'm going to say it while I've got it on my mind. If you have a bad meeting, forget it. You're probably never going to have a bad meeting on deputation. You're probably going to never have any bad experiences on deputation. Probably not going to have that. Probably not going to have a preacher that's going to be ugly to you. Probably not going to have a church that's not going to be nice to you. I've had preachers book me for mission conferences, and I walk in the door, and they look at me like, "What are you doing here?" And then the preacher would come up to me and say this, what is it we're going to do this week? Oh, hallelujah. We're in for a great week. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. So I want to say this, and it's not in my notes, but I do want to say this, is forgetting those things which are behind. By the way, pastors have to do that sometime on Monday morning. And forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on, there's another day, there's another meeting down the road. But anyhow, Paul says, "Brother, I count not myself behalf to it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and press on." I talked to you yesterday, and I'll say it again today. This one thing I do. Now, I have a problem with that sometimes. Sometimes I want to do 9 things at the same time. But on deputation, this one thing I do. Don't try to build the work out west or overseas or wherever while you're on deputation. this one thing I do. Now I want to rehearse this a little bit and go over just a little bit what I said yesterday. I said it hurriedly, and I am going to be conscious of the time, and I promise you I'll have you out here before 15 to 1. Is that the right time? I promise you I will. But yesterday I started talking to you about temptation, and two or three things I said yesterday. First thing I said, and I'll say it again this morning, nobody owes us anything. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes me anything. The truth of the matter is, if I got what I deserve, I know where I would be. I'd either be in jail or in hell or out on bail. Amen. That's exactly where I would be this morning. But nobody owes us anything, so I want to say that to you this morning. How you and I need to realize that today. We're servants of God, and we're His servant today. Yesterday, I talked to you, first of all, how to call and get meetings. How to call and get meetings. And I want to say this again, and I'm going through it quickly because I want to get to what I want to say this morning. There is some flexibility in everything I say this morning. Yesterday, I said, number one, where not to call. As a general rule, I don't call convention churches. As a general rule, I did have churches that was in convention that supported me when I was in missions. But as a general rule, I don't normally do that. And I'm not in the ministry of Thorn Rocks at the Southern Baptist and the Cooperative Pro. I got more to preach than that. I don't do that. I know some good men that pastor those churches doing a good job. But as a general rule, I don't do that. You say, do you preach in Southern Baptist? If they let me preach in the King James Bible, I'll preach. Matter of fact, I'll preach to the Pope if he'll listen to me. Yeah. So I tell him I'm an independent Baptist. Well, you do what you want to, and I'm going to do what I want to. Amen. But as a general rule, I normally don't do that. And I said, don't do that. We're not to call. And other denominations and all that. And I said yesterday, never call a preacher on a cell phone. Now, again, that's got flexibility in it. You call me all you want to on my cell phone. You'll say, what's your cell phone number? BR519. As a general rule, I don't do that. We're not to call, and so on and so forth. I talked to you about that yesterday. And I said, when you call, I said, there's four things the preacher wants to hear real quick. Number one, he wants to hear what church y'all of. Number two, what field you're going to. Number three, are you going to be a church planter? And number four, what mission board are you with? And that is so very, very important, what mission board you're with. That's important also. And again, what church you have and what board you with says a lot of things to a pastor. As a general rule, not always, but as a general rule, if a missionary calls me that I have no idea who he is, I don't know him, I've never heard tell of him, and he's an independent missionary, and he don't even bring a church up and don't bring a mission board up, he's not going to get a meeting. I just don't do that. It gives you identification. And I said that yesterday. Prayer Baptist Missions, that speaks volumes to me. I know the men that's on the board, and that speaks volumes to me. And I know if you've been through the candidate school here, I know that. If I don't know your church, I know the mission board. So the pastor wants to hear what church y'all of, what field you're going to. You're going to be a church founder. And then they also want to know right quick what mission board you're going to be with. And there's a lot we can say about that, and I'll not get into that. But also, I said this yesterday, how to call and how to get meetings. Second thing I said yesterday, when you start, get with a veteran missionary. Get with somebody that's done it. Are you listening? If I'm running 100 in Sunday school, and I want my Sunday school attendance to grow, I'm going to call somebody that's done it. My last church I pastored, I had Dr. Lee Robinson come in a number of times and teach my people about the church building. If I'm running 100 in Sunday school and I want my Sunday school attendance to grow, I'm not going to call a man that's running 25 in Sunday school and come get him and tell me how to do it. Hello, I'm preaching good. And hey, get with a veteran missionary. Get with somebody that's already done it. And don't be embarrassed to ask questions. I said that yesterday. I'm not going back over that. Then the third thing I said yesterday. No, I didn't. Now, here's where I start out today. Get with a veteran missionary. Get with a veteran missionary and let him teach you what to say and what not to say and what to do and what not to do. And I'll just say this one more time. I said yesterday, take about 90% of your time, talk about your work, take 10% of the time and give you testimony. Now, if you're a Brother Obed, you can take 50% of your time if you want to, but everybody's not Brother Obed. And I was interested in what he had to say last night. I love what he had to say. And about his testimony and how he got saved and all that. And there's times you may take a little more time than what I said, but mainly present your work. Mainly tell about where you're going and present your work. How to get meetings, and not only how to get meetings, get with a veteran missionary when you get started. Third thing I want to say, and I got to get to this, when it comes to scheduling meetings, How do you schedule meetings? How do you get meetings? And how do you schedule meetings? And how do you get to the field? Well, three things. Number one, stay on your knees. Number two, stay on the phone. Somebody started to call me yesterday on your phone. When I borrowed your phone, they was going to call Jimmy Millsaps. He's not saved, but anyhow. Number one, stay on your knees. Number two, stay on the phone. And number three, stay on the road. If you'll do them three things, you'll get to the field. Stay on your knees, stay on the phone, stay on the road. And I learned this a long time ago. If you'll do what you can, God will do what you can't. If you'll do what you can, God will do what you can't. And saturate it in prayer. Saturate your meetings in prayer. Take your schedule. Take your date book. And ask God to fill that date book. I don't say this about scheduling meetings. It's not that you just want a meeting. You want the right meetings. You want to go where God wants you to go. You want to go to the right churches and go to the right. You want to go where God wants you to go. I know we'll forget when, and this don't happen to everybody, and I shouldn't even tell it. I know we'll forget when God called my wife and I into missions. And I never will forget it. I met Dr. Wade in Statesville. He was in Statesville in a mission conference, and I met him on a Sunday night. I told him what God had put in my heart, and I was getting ready to resign the church, and I believe God wanted me to be a missionary, and so on and so forth. And boy, he gave me a lot of good direction, gave me a lot of good help. And I never will forget what Mrs. Wade looked at me and said. She said, "Brother Barker, the churches you think will help you won't help you. And the ones you think won't help you will help you." And buddy, that's the truth. I found that to be true down through the years. And so what I want to say to you today is this. You do what you can in your scheduling, and God will do what you can't. It's God that does it anyhow, and God will do what you can't. And let me just say this about scheduling meetings this morning. First of all, as you schedule your meetings, don't kill your family. Don't have a meeting at Gateway on Sunday night and a meeting at Open Door Baptist in Christiansburg, Virginia on Sunday morning. I got that backwards. Don't have a meeting here on Sunday morning and a meeting there on Sunday night. Brother Johnston, how long did it take you to get here? About 4.5 hours probably. Don't do that to your wife. You want to make your wife hate the mission trip and you want to make your wife hate deputation, do that to her. Don't do that to your children. Don't do that to your wife. I know we'll forget, I'm a little slower than I used to be. I really am. And years ago when I was pastoring Turner's Creek, I told our senior citizens, I said, we're going on a good trip. We're going to Washington, D.C. And I said, men, we're going to take our time and just have a ball all week long. And my kids were small during this time. And we're just going to have a good time. And I'll promise you, we're not going to drive through one drive-through. My youngest just about started crying. Looked at mom and said, "Are we not going to eat this week?" Huh? If you want to make your wife hate deputation, you do that to her. Don't do that. Be conscious with your schedule. Be conscious when you book your meetings. Book them close together if possible. If you've got a meeting here on Sunday morning, get a meeting in Pickens. There's 160 churches all Sunday night. My soul, he's telling the truth about Pickens County. And try to work it. And I know sometimes you can't do that. I remember when I was on deputation, raising my support. There was times that I remember one time in particular. I was in Robbinsville on a Sunday morning and in Cummins, Georgia on Sunday night. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. Let me tell you why that's not a good idea. Number one, you're not effective when you get there. You'll go ahead and tighten up your tie and button your coat and get your King James Bible under your arm and walk in with a smile on your face. But mentally, are you listening to me? You're not effective. And it wears you out. It wears your family out. I'd rather have quality than quantity. And give it your best. Be at your very best when you get there, wherever it's at. And again, don't kill your family doing that. Book your meetings close together, as close as possible. Don't wear them out. You'll wear your family. And I'll just say this, deputation's not easy. I know that. You got to travel and travel and travel and travel and travel. I know that. It's not easy. But again, if possible, sit down and pray over that schedule. Sit down and pray over your date book and pray about the meetings that you get and pray about the areas. And by the way, I'll say this about scheduling meetings. Keep flexibility in your schedule. Have missionaries come up to me and they talk about, "Boy, I'm booked up for 2 years." Well, that's great. Get meetings. but you better leave a little flexibility along the way. Somebody might call wanting to take you on if you'll just come by. You say, well, I'll cancel one of these others. I know evangelist does that, don't y'all? All depends. I'm moving. I got to hush. Listen, I'm telling you, keep a little flexibility. And I'm not saying don't be booked up. I'm saying keep some flexibility in that. Keep your Sunday once in a while open to word. You can have some flexibility in there. Somebody may call and say, I want Brother Jeff and his wife to come. Your name's April, is that right? I read y'all's prayer letters. Y'all know that. That's why I knew your name. And I say, well, Brother Jeff, I want you and Miss April to come the third week in June and be our missionary for our Bible school. And I'm going to tell you, if you get to do that, you're going to get a big offering. You say, do you go for all? No, I don't go, but it sure do help. Look at me like that. You made out the same stuff I am. But number two, there's a real good possibility you get support. Keep some flexibility in there. And you say, well, they ought to call me a year ahead. Do you think a church is going to call you a year ahead? You think a pastor is going to do that? Most pastors don't even think a year ahead. They're not going to do that. So what I want to say to you, and I got to hurry, keep some flexibility as you schedule you. And this brother asked me this a while ago, and I want to say it right now. On drop-in meetings, that missionary asked me this all the time. What do you think about just dropping in on churches? I don't think much of that. I know they'd get quiet when I said that. You put extra pressure on the pastor when you do that. Now, you can come visit me anytime you want to. You're not going to put no pressure on me. I'm old enough now, I don't get upset about anything much. And I have missionaries call me all the time, say, can I drop in? I said, drop in anytime you want to. Be glad to have you worship with us. Give something an offering, praise God. Amen. Yeah, help our crowd. Come on in. Won't bother me a bit. Had one call me the other day and said, call me on a Saturday. He said, we'll be there tomorrow night. I said, wonderful. But I said, I'm not going to give you any time. I can't. I'm already tied up. I can't. But I'd be glad to have you in service. And by the way, I'll say this to you, missionaries. You're welcome at Northwood anytime you want to come. Anytime. I'll give you a place today. And if you need some money, I'll give you some money. You're welcome. But what I'm saying to you is this. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you're on the road and don't have a meeting and drop in other. And I know that. And most pastors don't mind that. But I just want to say to you today, don't try to raise your support by just doing drop-in meetings. Have scheduled meetings. And there's some, again, flexibility in that. And I know there's some mission boards encourage that. And I know some years ago that's all the way they got their support was drop-in meetings. That's changed with that particular mission board now. But I just want to say to you, and again, I'm not preaching against that. If you do that sometime, that's fine. But don't try to build your support that way. Don't try to do that. And it puts extra pressure on a pastor and the church, and don't do that. Then the third thing I want to say this morning, not only the scheduling your meetings, but then I want to say when it comes time to present your burden. After your one-time call, after you've scheduled your meetings and got with a veteran missionary to learn how to do it, and after you schedule your meetings, then there comes that time to present your work. Then there comes that time to go to that church and present your ministry and present your work. And I'm going to say, as you schedule meetings, you're going to schedule them a long time out for the most part. I keep missionaries schedule a year ahead of time. I sure do. But I keep some flexibility in there also, even in my schedule for missionaries. But here's what I started to say. As you present your work and get your meetings, after you schedule your meetings and get your meetings, 2 or 3 days before that meeting, or even the week before that meeting, either send a letter of confirmation or call the pastor one. I never will forget this. Years ago, when my wife and I was first started in missions, I was booked up for eons of eternity, it seemed like. I stayed booked up. But anyhow, I'm not going to tell that because I'll discourage you if I do. This preacher called me and wanted to come present my work. And so I wrote it down, had the date down, had everything fixed. And I don't remember, I may have been in Georgia that morning, and that night I was going to be in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Don't do that. You see that little woman sitting back there with all them gray hairs in her head. But anyhow, I drove and drove and drove and drove and drove to get to where I was going to get to, and I got there. Preacher Wishon over here and Brother Hill and probably these probably preacher on front row know this preacher I'm talking about. Good church right outside of Mount Airy. And Brother Bill Watson's who it was, Little Mount Baptist Church. I walked in. I've known Brother Watson for years. I preached in the camp meetings over there where his church is involved in, and walked into that church and sat down. Good crowd on Sunday night. He comes walking back where I'm at and kind of looks funny. Looks strange. He said, "Where you been?" I said, "I went to church this morning. Where you been?" He said, "No, where was you at last Sunday night?" I said, and I thought, "Where I was at?" I told him where I was at. He said, "You're supposed to be in here last Sunday night." I said, "Preacher, I am so sorry." The truth of the matter is, he was wrong. Don't never tell a pastor that. Apologize. Eat crow. Apologize. I was not wrong. I know when I was supposed to be there because he's my friend. I've known him for years, and I know when he asked me to come. And he wasn't too nice to me about that. I started saying, "I didn't want to meet in here to start." "No, I didn't. I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't say it." And I said, "Preacher, I am so sorry we got crossed up on our dates. I really thought this was a night." And the truth of the matter is, please don't tell him I'm telling you this, because he'd want me to send all that support back. He was wrong. I did have it down right. But here's what I started to say. It was my fault. Let me tell you why it's my fault. I didn't call him 2 or 3 days ahead of time. I didn't send a letter to confirm my date. Boy, I got learned right quick in missions. Always, when you're getting ready to go present your work, either call the pastor 2 or 3 days ahead or either send a letter of confirmation one. Then as you go present your work, if you need a place to stay, ask the pastor if they have a prophet's chamber. Don't tell him you need a place to stay. Ask him, does he have a prophet's chamber? If he don't have one, drop it. You'll say, "Well, it's his responsibility." Now, you might not feel the way I feel about that. I've never asked for nothing. Never. It's not because I'm too good. I just never have done that. If he's the right kind of man of God and you ask for a prophet's chamber and he don't have one, he'll say this: "But we're going to take care of you a place today. Don't worry about it." And if he don't, it'll be okay. God will take care of the need. Don't put no added pressure on it. Most of them will get you a place to stay anyhow. And I like what the brother said about the website. You type all that in, and I used to know all that stuff when I was missionary, and you'll find a place to stay. For the most part, any place you go, just about for the most part, a lot of them got prophet chambers all across. So what I started to say to you, if you ask him for a prophet chamber and he don't have one, say, "Okay, preacher, that's fine. I'll take care of it." If he's the right kind of preaching guy and character at all about him, he'll take care of you. Some of them won't, and you know what I'm talking about. Some of them won't, some of them won't. But that's okay. Well, you got one that won't, you got 25 that will. So don't worry about that. Don't get hung up on that. Next thing I want to say right quick as you go to present your work, get there at least 30 minutes early. Anything tires me out of the frame is people coming in late. I'm going to start on time. It doesn't matter if I don't get out at 12 o'clock, but we're going to start at Northwood on time. And I'll say this to you. Listen to me. Get there at least 30 minutes early. And you'll say, "Well, there won't be nobody there." You'll be there. And get there on time. Be excited about it. Get there on time. And when you do get to the church that you're going to present your work, never, ever pull a display out or DVD out and set it up without the pastor telling you to. Always either find the pastor or the mission director, whoever is taking care of the meeting. Always. And the first thing I'd always do, I'd say, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" I had a missionary come to Turner's Creek one time, and our men were back in the prayer room, and I never let anybody set anything up in the aisles because our aisles were so small and our church was full of people. We would let them set them up, but we always let the people get in and get set down and then set it up. And my associate pastor came to me back to the prayer room one night and said, "This missionary here said he's supposed to be here." And I said, "Yeah, I know it." He said, "Preacher, you can't even get down the aisle." I said, "I told him not to set the stuff up. He wasn't paying no attention to me." I said, "I'll take care of it." And when he come out of the prayer room, he couldn't even get down the center aisle of the church. He had, during the days, he had projectors. He didn't have the DVD stuff. And he had drop cords this big around. And they was running. You couldn't even get down the aisle, man, without falling down. And I walked back there and I said, glad to have you tonight, but you're going to have to move this stuff. I said, if you want to show that, that'll be fine, but you're going to have to get it all out of the way. The choir's going to sing. We'll come out of the choir. We got to have this open here. You can't leave that sitting there during service. You show it, put it down. He said, I've come to present my work. I said, okay. Come back here just a minute. I took him back in the back room and had him talk in Jesus' name with that boy. I said, I want to tell you something. Here's what he said in the hour. Really, really got to me. He said, I'm here to present my work and preach. I said, okay. Come back here just a minute. You say, what'd you say? God has forgiven me and I'm not going to remind him. You say, did you cuss? Well, I didn't cuss much. Are you listening? Took that boy in that back room and I said, I want to tell you something, son. I'm glad you're here, and I'm going to let you present your work. Number one, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. And if you're not going to do what I'm going to tell you to do, you go ahead and get your projector and leave right now. You say, you didn't say that. I did. I'll tell you what happened to that guy. He wasn't under a good mission board. He didn't have no instructions. He had nobody to help him. Nobody. I mean, he just walks in out of the blue, sets things up, says nothing to nobody. And I said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to have church tonight. And I said, I never, very seldom ever let a missionary preach because I'm gone in meetings. When I'm at home, I always preach. But I said, if you want to show your work, show your slides, take about 10 minutes to tell about your work, that'll be fine. If you don't want to do that, we're at the end of the conversation right now. He did. Y'all believe we took him on? See the pastor. You know what I've done about taking him on. See the pastor. I called his pastor. See the pastor, see the mission director. And I told my wife yesterday after this session was over, I said, none of them's going to like me. But I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And by the way, if you've got a display, make sure you get the okay from the preacher to set it up. And can I give you some information on displays? Don't get one as big as that wall. Get you a compact display. They sell them in Texas. I did know the website. Y'all know all about that. And you can get a nice one for about $250. And number two, don't just get a paperboard, cardboard, and straight pens and put some pictures on there and put you in that. Hello. Independent Baptists are the worst in the world to be sloppy. There's nothing spiritual about being sloppy. Y'all liking me, ain't you? Huh? Get you a nice display. And on that display ought to be three things real quick. Number one, what church y'all of. Number two, what mission board you're with. And then number three, on the right side, your field. Don't get a display and just stick a bunch of pictures on there. It's like somebody calling you on the phone and talking for 15 minutes and you don't know who they are. Preacher Fred Kindheart called me this morning, good friend of mine in Macedonia, early this morning. And I picked up the phone and I have the parsonage number forward to my phone in case there's something wrong, and I didn't have my glasses on. Be honest with you, I was still in the bed when he called. And I picked up the phone. I said, hello. Hey, Brother Mark, how you doing this morning? I said, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing? Doing good. I'm just driving down the road, wanting to talk to you. I said, man, I'm glad you called. He went on and on, and I didn't have my glasses on. I can't see a lick without them. And I couldn't see the caller ID who called me because I got his number programmed. I don't know who it was. I couldn't see it, and I sat in there. And after about 7 or 8 minutes, I said, now, who are you? That's where a lot of displays are. Got everything in the world on them. Got pictures, but they have no idea where they're going. I see that stuff. I want to say have a neat display. If you do a DVD, keep it short. Nothing wrong with DVDs, but keep it short. And that DVD and that, you know what a display is? A display is a display. It displays what you're going to do. It displays where you're going. And I don't have time to deal with that. Need a whole session to deal with displays. DVDs, good to have them. Present your work, good to have them. Spend some extra money and do it first class. Do it first class. Don't just sit down and gum around with a computer and throw something together in 20 minutes and take it to the church. Don't do that. Spend some money. Do it first class. And nothing wrong with that. Always thank the pastor and the church numbers of times while you're there presenting your work. Always thank the pastor numbers of times while you're there presenting the work. Always do that. Don't never leave without always thanking the pastor. And always do that. Always thank him for everything. Then let me just say this also as you present your work. Never go over your time. I like what Brother Obed said last night. But that was good. Never go over your time. If you got 5 minutes, take 4.5 minutes and sit down. And never go over your time. Always in presenting your work, here's the most important thing I'm going to say these 2 days. What I'm getting ready to say is the most important thing I'll say these 2 days. In presenting your work, convey your burden. You won't have to be around Brother Carlos Stiers 5 minutes. And you know he's got Mexico in his heart. That's all he talks about. Convey your burden. You'll say, well, I'm going to knock him out of the saddle with a song. Well, that's wonderful. Let her rip. That's not always what's going to get you support. You'll say, boy, I've got an outline that's out of this world. That's good. But that's not always what's going to. Well, you may be impressed with your outline, and 4 or 5 people in church might be. The rest of that crowd might want to know what you're going to do. Convey your burden. Are you listening to me? That will get you support more than anything. I've met missionaries come preach their way out of a paper bag. And up in the mountain, they come preach their way out of a paper poke. No. But they had a burden. And they went to the field. And they done a work for God. We are so good at Independent Baptists at judging people by their mannerisms and all. I'm telling you, it's not all how good you preach or sing that gets you support. It's how you present that burden. And by the way, can I tell you something? You can't rehearse a burden. You can't. And I said yesterday, get your plan together, and I'm for that. But you can't rehearse a burden. The only place you can get a burden is on your knees before God, and God birth that in your heart. That's what will get you support. And old Stephen Brock, y'all know Brother Stephen. And Stephen's like myself, a little bit tongue-tied. Y'all know Stephen. I'm not talking about him. And the average church would say he'll not get to first base. I don't know. He's on the mission field. He'd stand up with tears in his eyes and a burden in his soul. Convey the burden. That's what will get you support. Convey that burden. Convey that. And by the way, if you don't have a burden to do it, don't do it. Go get your job. God hadn't called you and God hadn't put a burden in your heart. Forget it. You don't. I heard all kinds of stuff about missions. Well, we're commissioned going to all the world. Everybody else. No, there's a call to be a missionary. There's a call to a field. There's a divine call on a man's life. You say that went out with a covered wagon. Well, y'all be on the wagon. There's a call to the field, man. I'll say convey your burden. I got to hurry. Convey your burden. If you ask to preach when you're presenting your burden, y'all going to look at me strange. If you're asked to preach when you present your burden, if possible, stay positive. Preach a real encouraging message. You'll never miss preaching a message when you preach to encourage people, because there's hurting people everywhere. Don't be influenced by what you see in churches that to drive you to what you preach. I don't care, bless God, if a pastor's wife comes in with a pair of blue jeans on. I shouted on this thick. Pastor come out of the back room with 3-year rings in his ear. I'm not for that. I don't have none with me. Huh? I'm not for that, but here's what I'm telling you. You're not there to straighten out that church. You're not there. You're not there. The early days of Prayer Baptist Missions, there was a missionary when I was on this executive board. Brother Carlos Stiers was there. There was a missionary in the early days. I guess me and you, the only ones in this room, was at that meeting. He got up in a certain church in a certain place when the pastor was gone on Wednesday night and he was getting ready to build a new building. And he got up on a Wednesday night when the pastor wasn't there and the church wasn't full, but they was in the process of building a new building, and laid that church out for building that new building. Said, you don't need a new church, man. You hadn't got this in full. Boy, I never will forget Dr. Ed McAbee getting in that guy's face. And that guy long since learned better and has gone to the field and done a good work for God. And I reckon you're still with this board. You say, who is he? I'll never tell you. But I never will forget Dr. McAbee getting in his face. I thought he was going to slap him. He said, you overstepped your boundaries. That wasn't none of your business. And come to find out, the old building was falling down. They needed a building. That wasn't that missionary's business. And if you want to get on the wrong side of the pastor, you just go try and straighten out his church. If you're asked to preach, if possible, stay positive. It's hard to stay positive when you're preaching on hell, if you preach on hell. But if you'll encourage people and love people, I'm preaching good. If you'll encourage people and love people and have a compassion for people, that'll get you a long ways on deputation. And if you're asked to preach, and preach, don't gobble around, get up and preach, man. Tell it, preach. I'm not talking about tiptoe through the tulips. I'm talking about let God use you, preach. And so I want to say to you, don't let what you see influence you. Man, I see everything in churches. I'm seeing things in churches now that I thought I would never see. I've even been in churches sometime and I have to preach this way. Because, dear God, it looks like an X-rated movie the way some of the women are dressed. Talk about how they shouldn't wear miniskirts. I believe they need to do some raising up here. I'm preaching good. I'm leaving tonight. It'll be okay. Are you listening? I'm telling you, don't be influenced by what you see if you preach. It's not your job to straighten out the church. Never give your opinion when you're presenting your work on something unless you're asked to give it. Never give your opinion on something unless you're asked to give it. I don't have time to say what I want to say right there. Yeah. Never give your opinion unless you're asked to give it. Then also, in presenting your work, always dress neat. Please hear me. There's nothing spiritual about being slouchy. There's nothing spiritual about not dressing up. I'm of the opinion, I think a preacher ought to look like a preacher. Yeah, I'm not against wearing color shirts. These guys got these green or red shirts on. I don't know about all. But no, I'm just kidding you, because I've had color shirts on this week. I'll tell you, always dress neat. Dress your family neat. Make them look neat. Dress neat. By the way, you don't have to have a $500 suit on to look neat. Your wife don't have to have a $500 dress on to look neat. Always look neat. Dress nice when you present your work. And hear what I'm getting ready to say. This second most important thing I'm going to say these days. Always know where your young'uns are at. I've had missionaries done a bang-up job presenting the work, but I wouldn't take them on because their young'uns was tearing the church down. We was having a mission conference one time and had a lot of missionaries there that week. And after the service on a Sunday night, we went out into our gym. And we was in the gym, had several missionaries, had several kids. We was there in the gym. And while we was having a meal in the gym after service, the side door of the gym door opened, and fire department man, what is the head of the fire department? Whatever he is. He opened our door and come bringing a young'un in. And I looked at him. His name was Johnny Willard. I said, what are you doing, John? He said, does this young'un belong to anybody in here? I said, it's dark and he's up here on the other side of the graveyard in the road. That so embarrassed me. And as one of the missionaries, young'un didn't even know where he was at. I'm telling you, know where your young'un's at. You say they won't be still. Do you need me to give you some advice how to keep your young'un still? You say it won't work. I didn't say a word. I will say this. If my daddy was living today and did young'uns today like he did me when I was growing up, he'd get 30 days in the electric chair. But he had three boys, and all of them turned out to be preachers. Everything turned out pretty good. I'm leaving Louisville. Are you listening? And I'll say this, when you're presenting your work, don't get homestead. You say, what do you mean by that? When you get done, leave. I'm going to tell you something. When I get done on Sunday night, I'm ready to go home. You say, I'll tell you what, I just like hanging around. I'm not against hanging around 30 minutes or so after service. We normally get done about 7:30, 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Our service starts at 6. Now, I'm not against hanging around 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes, fellowshipping. But I'm going to tell you, after that, I'm going to go die. You'll say, I got zeal. Wait till you get 58. Have mercy on us old people. When you get out and leave, man, I've had missionaries follow me home. My wife will look back and say, they're coming. they're turning in the driveway. They're coming. Don't get homestead. As you present your work, always follow up that visit or that presentation with a thank you card. It don't have to be a letter, a thank you card. Preachers don't read long letters, a thank you card. And then as you leave that meeting, saturate that meeting in prayer, pray that God will put in their heart what God put in your heart. Then right quick, I'll say this and I'm done. Debitation and updating your ministry, and debitation is a part of your ministry. That's just as much a part of your ministry as starting a church on the field. Don't forget what I just said. That's just as much a part of your ministry as anything else. Paul said, this one thing I do, I'll do this one thing, and then I'll start the church. And I'll tell you, debitation this morning is a ministry. And by the way, God's got the support for you. If God's called you to the mission field, I got news for you. The support's already ready. Just go find it. It's there. Just go get it. And it's a ministry. Don't try to skip it. It's a ministry. Don't jump over it. It's a ministry. You can be a ministry by being a blessing to that church and that pastor. And a lot of things you can say about that. And I'll say this. My time's up just about. Don't go to the field under-supported. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm sure they do here at Prayer Baptist. I know they did when I was from Macedonia. We have departure interviews. And at that departure interview, the pastor comes with the missionary, and we always look at that support. And if they're not 100% supported, we look at it and see why not. Don't go under support. Well, I tell you what, I've got 83%. I believe it's the will of God for me to go. Was it the will of God for you to go to start with? Did God give you the 83%? You're in, he can't give you the other 17%. Thank you. It's out there. Don't go under-supported. If you do anything, go over-supported. Because there will be somebody to drop you. Don't do that. Well, I got faith. I believe that's been addressed already. There is a thin line. Finish it. I'm not against walking by faith. I like what that brother said a while ago. And I'll tell you some stories about that. But I'm just telling you, don't go to feel under-supported. And I'm sure this board probably wouldn't allow that anyhow. Then last of all, I'm done. Don't forget this one word. It's a ministry. Do your schedule and present your work. Don't forget this one word. Timing. Timing. It's every bit in God's timing. I've seen missionaries go to the field before they're supposed to go to the field and turn around and come back. It's all in God's timing. And you'll learn lessons on debitation that you'll never, ever, ever, ever learn anywhere else. God will teach you things on debitation that you'll never learn nowhere else. Paul said, this one thing I do. And if I could say one thing as I step off this platform today, whatever you do in the ministry, do it first class. Do it first class.